Hello, top of the morning to you, and welcome to this week's podcast. My name is Tony Lawler. This week's guest is a guy called Eric Hanlon, and I've known Eric for probably about 10 years at this stage. And Eric is going to fill me in on his times of growing up as a kid in Dublin and all the adventures we've had and he's had for supporting Wolves over the years, and a little insight into the Bell Dudley Mafia, which we'll get into. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, Tony.
How are you?
I'm great, how are you?
Flying. Don't know where I'm flying. Not flying anywhere.
I know. Well, you're not flying anywhere, is the thing, so, you know. Yeah. Trying to get Saturday night out of the system, but I don't know how we do that.
Nah, it's not looking good anyway for the next couple of months.
I say you could add a couple of years after that, Tony, you know. Anyway, shut up.
Well, Eric, when you're growing up as a kid, I assume you probably kicked a bit of ball, did you?
I did, Tony. Funny enough, I just think of, like, I can't remember doing anything else as a kid, you know.
Yeah.
Apart from, you know, we used to, I lived up in Green Hills, which is near Walkinstown Cross, and behind us there was nothing. There were just fields. So yeah, we'd no grass to play on. We used to, like, the houses built in the 1960s, they always had big laneways. So we played football in lanes against other roads. We called it the road leagues, but of course it was just youngsters kicking around. You know, I remember summer holidays, you'd play, we'd start in the morning, we'd go home, have our grub, and then come back. And the only rule was whether it was 23, 24, or 25, 23, you know, this thing, you know.
Last goal, the winner.
It ended up, you know, was getting dark, or someone got called in, you know. Probably, Tony, I really don't. You know, there's some of the matches that end up to be a bit of a punch-up or something like that. You know? There was always a bit of rivalry, but we played football just for hours and hours. And then when I started playing organised football, I was around 11 or 12. I was in an organisation called the Boys Brigade, which would be like the Scouts, equivalent to the Scouts, you know. Yeah. And we used to play Saturday mornings. Then when I was about 14, I started playing amateur football. And when I was 16, I was playing three matches a week. I was playing with the Boys Brigade Saturday morning, a team called Steadfast United in the United Churches League.
Saturday, yeah, you know, heard of them, yeah.
For Dunor Celtic on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So I did that for one season. Now, fairly tiring now, playing three matches. But then I played up until my late 30s, you know, that way, Tony.
Yeah.
After that, the body wouldn't take it anymore. You know yourself, you know.
Yeah. True. Happens as well.
Yeah.
But, So how did you manage to fall in love with the Bell Wolves?
Tell you what it was, Tony. I'll tell you exactly. I've asked the question a million times. About a week before the 1968 European Cup final, Manchester United were playing Benfica, you know, so every single kid around were, oh, I'm following Man United, I'm following, and myself and the fella next door, a fella called Paul Nugent, actually played League of Ireland, I think he managed Shelburne, good friend of Brian Kerr, but myself and Paul said, no, we're not following Man United. So Paul had a choice. His choice was Coventry or Leeds, because his dad, Willie, it was a very good footballer, and they lived in England, and he played for both Leeds and Wolves. And actually, Willie keeps reminding him, Jesse, he said, I played against Wolves and Molyneux when he played with Leeds. You know, this is back in the 50s.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we said no. So anyway, so Paul's choice was, he chose Coventry. So we had one of these, you know, like these Panini sticker books that had, you know, all the clubs. So anyway, I started at A, you know, and I didn't want the big team, Man United. I certainly didn't want Leeds. I didn't, you know, Liverpool's. And I kept going through the book, and I was going, oh, I'm not sure. And then got to the last page, of course, Wolverhampton Wanderers. And the colour, Tony, was the thing. And I looked and I said, that's me, Wolverhampton Wanderers, you know. So that basically was 45 years of heart, or 50 years of heart attacks later. But anyway, that was the story, Tony, so. Literally, as the fella says,
it's one of those decisions you make that affects the rest of your life. You know, we all make a couple of those. Following Wolves probably does have a similar train to being married and all that sort of stuff, or having kids. You know, ups and downs.
I was going to say that, but the missus is in the next room. You know?
All right, just as well I said it, so.
All
right. But anyway, so when did you manage to get to your first game?
Well, I tell you what, I my first game actually. First English game, it was a good story actually. I was playing with this Boys Brigade. We used to play, like, I was on the Dublin team, right?
Yeah.
So we were playing in Liverpool. Now, this wasn't a Wolves game, but it was 1977. We were in Liverpool playing, and with the crowd, we played the Liverpool team in the morning, and then the afternoon, these guys who were organising things said, look, we're going to go down to Anfield. Liverpool are playing Manchester City.
Yeah.
So we said, geez, fantastic, you know, because we thought, we never thought we could to an English league match. And this was the Liverpool team of Keegan and Toshik, you know, a really, really great team.
Late 70s,
I think they might have won the Europe. But anyway, so we're walking down, the lads are saying, look, there's going to be loads of people here. We were 17, because this was fantastic. So the guy says, look, if you get lost, come back to, I can't remember, St. Peter's Hall, whatever it was, Fiesta Grand, you know. So we said, look, we're going into the Anfield Road end. He said, yeah, this was well before tickets or anything like that. You just queued, you got there early.
Yeah.
So we were walking down towards Anfield, and I look up and I see Spion Cop. I elbow one of the lads and said, geez, would you like to go to the cop, you know? And he said, yeah. So next we saw him, and next to two lads, where are you going? We're going to try and get in the cop, you know? So we went along across, we're outside the cop, and it's like the 1970s now, you know, it's fellas milling and those blokes being punched, you know? You don't even know if you're in a queue. But anyway, next we ended up, geez, we're up at the tourist side, in we go, into the cop, right behind, now, this is the old cop, you know, the pushing and swaying.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, and a match kicked off, and sure, next thing, Liverpool were attacking the cop. We were pushed down about 15 foot, and it was, what, Jesus, this is, we thought this was fantastic. Now, we never seen it like it in our lives, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, with Liverpool, it was a good game, actually. Liverpool won the game. Steve Highway scored the winner of all people. But So anyway, we came back out. We were chuffed, came back out and up to the St. Peter's Hall, you know, met the rest of the lads. There was about 25 was gone, a few sort of adults, you know. And we said to the lads, oh, did you enjoy the match? And they were saying, well, actually, we got to the Anfield Road end, and the guy discovered that four bastards had fecked off, and he said they went looking for them. So he said, well, by the time they got back and we queued, the fecking place was sold out.
They missed, oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. So, you know, and then some of the lads were Liverpool fans. Oh, my God. But anyway, it was a brilliant experience for us, but not for the other lads. But anyway, that was a bit of an aside. But my first Wolves game, I'd seen Wolves playing, Tony, in, it must have been the 80s, because Andy Gray was playing. I'd seen them playing in Ireland a couple of pre-season jobs.
Yeah.
They played up in Drogheda and Bowes, I think it was. And I remember we were beaten by Bowes. I remember that. Because I remember nearly having a row with a bloke in the stand in Bowes. He was slagging off, you know, following the bleeding English team. You know this kind of,
the usual, yeah.
But anyway, my first actual Wolves competitive match, 2001 November. My brother, I'd been living in London for a while, and he rang me. He said, Wolves are playing Wimbledon in November.
Yeah.
So now this is, of course, long before Ryanair or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
So I got, I think, British Midland flights. And I brought my young lad, he was 12 at the time, you know. And my son brought his, because it was easy to get tickets for that, because the Wimbledon didn't have a fan base, you know.
Yeah.
So we went along, and in the Arthur Waite stand, as you know, in the Crystal Palace there. And anyway, there wasn't Wimbledon, probably slightly the better team. But about 10 minutes from the end, with a bit of Shamas box, and bang, a goal. Goal for Wolves, like, you know.
Yeah.
And the one thing that struck me, Tony, and it was, you know, was we were drifting. This was to tell you, you know, we were well ensconced in Division 2 then, or whatever it was called, you know. But I just remember the passion of the fans that day when we scored. It was like we'd won the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and it was great. And the funny was, I was only when I was looking up the date, I couldn't remember the date. And I thought, because I was asking the bloke, who scored, you know? And the lads' scores were, Oh, I think it was Nyout, you know. And I was, who? My brother worked with a fella who was from Wolverhampton. So he said, I think he means Sean Newton, you know. So I always thought Sean Newton scored, but just when I was looking it up, it was actually Dean Surridge scored, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, sure, look, that was that. But it was, for me, it was fantastic, you know, because, you know, I probably through the 80s, 90s, I'd got to watch Ireland away a lot, Tony. You know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably Wolves weren't on the radar. I know when we had the really bad drop and down and stuff like that. And it was even, you know, I was just thinking back in the, it was even hard to get Wolves scoring a Saturday.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember having to wait, because I know RTE only did Divisions 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But I remember having to wait and sneak, you know, or not sneak, but go in to a news agent on Sunday morning to look up to see how Wolves got on, you know, that way.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was the first time. Then, of course, I'm sure loads of blokes we talked. Then the next time was Cardiff, you know, that was just fantastic.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You managed to get there, yeah?
I did, Tony, yeah, I did. I managed to get there. And funny enough, I was actually in the, my uncle got me, it was involved in the FEI, and he got me tickets on the, oh God, it would have been, I had a brilliant tickets on the halfway line at the bottom tier. But actually, when I went in, it was actually, because I was going in, and I had a Wolves jersey, I had the old Wolves, an old one. It was a white jersey with a Goodyear jersey. It had the trim, black and gold trim on the collar and the cuff, and it had the Wolves at the city crest.
Yeah.
Lovely jersey, actually.
Yeah, I still have it. I remember that one, yeah.
But I was going in, and the bloke, I had to pick up a ticket at like a ticket office, and the bloke says, you better take that off. I said, what? He said, you better take your top off. And I had nothing else. It was a lovely day. Remember, it was a lovely sunny day.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I have nothing else on. Now, what I did have, I had a tricolour. I just happened to bring a tricolour with me, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, well, he said, I'd put that around you, mate, if I was you, you know? So yeah. So I went in, and of course, went in, and of course, it is actually physically in the Sheffield end, you know what I mean? But this was an area, like, sort of where people had won prizes. I'm sorry, there was a good few Wolves fans in there, you know?
Yeah.
And guys had won prizes. And but anyway, so that's where we were, of course, then. Then at half time, we went out, you know, to put a few beers, and I went out to go to the loo. And next one, I was grabbed by a steward. And I said, well, here, I haven't done anything, you know. He said, no, he said, we can't let you in there. He said, there's thousands of Sheffield fans. Of course, they were all going berserk, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
They knew
yeah.
the game was up, you know. But anyway, so they brought us down. I said, look, we'll have to wait until the match kicks off. We bring it. So they brought us into the Wolves section and brought us literally underneath, or whatever it was, the part to say, they brought us up just right behind the goal where Wolves were defending. And just as we got there, all hell breaks loose. And we said, Jesus, we've scored again. Next, we look at the players, you know, there's. And of course, what happened, you know? He saved the penalty, you know? So, like, that was, you know, it was, what a day, Tony, you know? What a day, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, and my first match then at home, Tony Wright, was Kenny Miller. So what other day could it be? Kenny Miller against Man United.
Yeah.
January when they went. Yeah, that was my first game in Molineux, you know?
Lucky with that one.
I know, yeah. Look, it was, you know, it was just. Oh, it was great, you know what I mean? I was in the you know, the little uncovered stand beside the South Bank?
The Graeme Hughes stand, as they call it, yeah.
Is that what they call it now? Yeah, yeah. I had a ticket for in there, all right, yeah. Oh, it was great. You know, United were, you know, all singing, all dancing, Ronaldo, Kane, you know, they were Van Nistelrooy. They were going to wipe the floor with us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was a great day. Were you there that day, yeah?
No, I didn't make that one myself. No, I missed that.
Yeah. That was a great day, you know, it was great. Great going over. I bumped into a lad, I don't know, I can't tell you, fell from Waterford, and he brought me down the Asda, down to the ground. We had a bit of breakfast, and he had to go off somewhere. But I remember going home on the flight that night. There was only about 20 on it. I think it was an Aer Lingus flight, but they were all United fans. Oh, Jesus Christ. It was just, you know, one of those things where you're gloating, you're physically gloating, you know?
Yeah.
But it was great, you know.
It was funny, because
when we beat
them 2-1 with McCarthy, I was going back in an Aer Lingus flight on the Sunday afternoon. And like that, it wasn't full, but
right, yeah.
You could actually, there had to be United fans on it, but there were no colours. But just walking down with the Wolves jersey, you could nearly pick out the United supporters when the heads went down, you know. But,
I know what you mean, yeah.
Okay, Eric, of course, we couldn't go anywhere on this story without having a chat about our friends from Dudley.
All right, the Dudley Mafia.
The Dudley Mafia, yeah. So fill us in on how you managed to stumble across these gang of I won't put a description in. I'll leave it to us for later on.
We better not. Right, Tony. So that was Wolves were playing a friendly against Bowes. It was the time we got promoted under Mick.
Yeah.
Whatever. Ten or eight years ago. Yeah. Well, 9. What's jeez? I thought it was about 8 or 9. But anyway. So I'm in town. We're playing Bowes on the Saturday afternoon. I think it is. So I ramble in the Wolves top into Temple Bars, loads of Wolves fans around, just chatting with a couple of lads. So anyway, I'm meeting a friend of mine, a school friend of mine, and I'm meeting him out in Fibsworth. So he's coming to the match with me. So I'm there in Westmoreland Street. I'm just in the shop. I think I'm buying a chewing gum or something like that. And came out, and the bus, whatever bus it was, is there. And I just ran onto the bus, and I started, actually nearly got caught in the doors. It was like that sliding doors type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, got in anyway. And funny enough, I went upstairs in the bus, which I never do. I'd always sit down. If I ever, I don't get a bus that often. Anyway, went up the top. Jesus, when I got there, about 25 blokes, about half of them in Wolves colours, you know. And I started laughing. I said, Jesus, lads, this is something you don't see too often in Dublin. 20-odd blokes, 20-odd Wolves fans, you know. Yeah. So it turned out anyway.
Some of them were very odd.
Very, very odd. But anyway, it was... It was Steve Horton and all the lads, basically.
Yeah.
And it was Steve's 40th. So he had a gang of about 40-odd blokes over.
Yeah.
You know, but they're all lads from different. A few of these lads followed Villa and stuff like that. But there was about 25 of them going to the match anyway. So I literally sat down beside this fella, started talking to him. You know, usually, you know, where are you from? Blah, when did you start following Wolves? You know, the usual caper. And then he says to me, are you coming over for any games? Because we'd just been promoted. So obviously... This was great, and of course with Ryanair, you know, it was great, the chief fares. So I said, God, I'm hoping to get over. I think we were playing Newcastle early in the season. I said, I'm hoping to get over for that.
Yeah.
And this fella says to me, Archie, look, come over and stay with me if you want, you know. And I said, Jesus, I said, I've only just met you, you know. And he said, and it turned out it was Steve. And he says to me, I'll always remember, he says, Archie, look, we're all Wolves, aren't we, you know. Yeah. So, but anyway, so that was grand, Tony. So I was over there for the Newcastle match, met up with the lads, and had a few pints with them. Because at this stage, I hadn't met yourself or Mick or, you know what I mean? You know, the regular travellers, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so I'm not sure it was that much, but I went over and stayed. I stayed with Steve. And sure, as it turns out then, you probably met, you know all his family and that.
Yeah.
Steve's wife, Angie, she's her, you know, she's an Irish lass. Well, her parents are Irish, you know?
Yeah.
From Birmingham, you know?
Yeah.
Which were like, it was like any... you know, Irish home, you know, very friendly, you know, very stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
So, that was the original connection. But then on that day, we went into Phibsborough, went into the hut, had a few pints with the lads, and I met my mate, he came in. And then after the match then, the lads came back to the hut again. We had a few pints, got the bus back into town with them, you know, so the lads were going off because they're meeting the big gang of lads.
Yeah.
So they were saying, so, you know, and it was funny, my mate said to me later on that night, because we were meeting up with a gang of people, and he said, I said, very nice lads. He said, how long have you known them, you know? And I said, jeez, I only met them today, you know? He said, jeez, he said, I thought you were lifelong friends, you know? So we sort of had an instant connection, Tony, in that regard.
Yeah.
Then obviously going over a bit more frequently. Then of course meeting yourselves and Gary and Mick and the boys, and then we're at the stage now where Irish Wolves and the Dudley Mafia go hand in hand everywhere.
Oh, definitely, yeah. We were in Switzerland there a couple of years ago pre-season. So we had a week over there, you know, and of course.
Steve and his family would have done it.
Yeah, and of course it was myself and Mick, and we met them, but Mick was determined one of the nights to outday the lads, you know.
Oh, so geez, good luck with that.
There wasn't much success there. I certainly wasn't hanging around to see the debris afterwards. But
the lads have hollow legs, Tony. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I end up in the state I generally do, because I'm drinking with those girls, you know.
I was just thinking the other day, the famous story of them when they there a couple of years ago, and you said Newcastle was the first game you went to meet them at, was when they went to Alicante, because the train was too dear to get for the Newcastle game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they flew to Alicante instead of
an internet sensation, or what, a Twitter sensation, I think.
Oh, they went viral, as they say. Yeah. So, great. And hopefully we'll be meeting them again soon.
Yeah, please God, Tony. Yeah, it's at the time. Yeah,
yeah. But sure. But I know you seem to prefer the away matches nearly than to the home, I suppose, for the crack and the new pubs to drink in. But what was your favourite away day, your favourite away ground?
Our favourite away ground. I love Fulham, actually.
Yeah.
I think Fulham's a great day out, you know. I love going to the matches in London. Like, I have a brother in London, so I like going to London, you know. I sort of gravitated towards those things. I think Fulham is an old style football ground. It's the old, you know, it hasn't really changed since the 50s, you know. I think Fulham, there's generally a good atmosphere there. There's great pubs along the river. I remember we were there the other year, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after the match, you have a night out and down the West End of London, and, you know, that's... everybody loves that tone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So probably Fulham, I'd say, you know, would be my favourite away ground.
Yeah.
You're hoping
for them to stay up then? We might get to see them, get there next year.
Well, yeah, in a funny way, Tony, now, the only thing, Fulham are probably the only three out of the bottom who can bolt out of the bottom three. I would like to see Fulham stay up, but I'd like to see us win two or three games, Tony, so we can relax, you know.
True, yeah. But then, of course, Newcastle are probably the nearest in danger to that, and I don't know, is that a good away day or an alright away day? I've mixed feelings on Newcastle.
Yeah, I haven't been, I think it's supposed to be a great spot for a night out type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that way, you know.
Actually, Sunderland, actually, I think we've had more fun there, you know.
But
is there any other, like, you know, you said with your brother in London, that's kind of a killing two birds with one stone when you get to go to an away game, whether it's Arsenal or Fulham or Spurs. Mm, but, Any, no other one spring to mind, no?
Well, I suppose the one... winning at Watford last or the season just after they beat us in the cup.
Yeah,
I was just, you know, it was just, you know, the cup semi was just a sickener, you know, and you know, now there's, I tell you, I don't know if you're there, but there's Watford is, oh my God, it is a kid. There's nothing in it.
No,
but and it's not even a great stadium, whatever. But yeah, just to win that day, Tony, now, for me, was, you know what I mean? I had a smile from ear to ear that day.
Yeah.
When we were singing, we sang right the way through, I wouldn't say the town, there's not much in Watford, but we sang from the minute we left the town till we got to the railway station, you know? So it was one of those as if we'd won the World Cup or something. Like that. So they're the ones that sort of stick out. Of the recent ones, you know, of the recent ones. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But the so over the years since following the Wolves, who would your favourite standout player be?
I love John Richards.
Yeah.
You know, I love John Richards. I just thought he was a great player. An unusual style, whatever it was about his, you know what I mean? He wasn't like other players.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he's great. Like that goal he scored for against Man City in the, this was a 74 League Cup final.
The winner in the League Cup final.
The winner. You know, I watched that. I looked that up every couple of months. You know what I mean? Just to have a look at the way he finished. He was a brilliant finisher. You know.
Yeah.
I suppose. Go on. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, from that same year, I always, and I can still see it in my mind when he it was a quarter final against Liverpool when he scored the winner. He burst past Larry Lloyd and buried it.
Right, yeah, and
I always had a fondness for him, probably just from being around that era, the early 70s, and that, you know.
Yeah,
but you had another player.
No, I just of the modern era now. I think Raúl Jiménez is he's the complete footballer, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it's no coincidence that our league position since he hasn't been in the team. I just think he's a fabulous. From the first match he played, that. I thought that goal against Everton when, you know, in the lashing rain, we were 2-1 down, it was late in the game, just that header. I just, when I saw that going in, I said to myself, this guy is going to be some footballer for us, you know, that way, you know.
Yeah.
And he has proved that way. Some of the goals he's got has just been, you know, if he was with some of the, you know, we won't mention, you know, they'd be raving about him week after week,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I just think he's a fantastic player, Tony. Mm-hmm. You know, he's strong in the air. He's quick. He's good on the ground. You know, he just has the whole 9 yards. Yeah. You know,
because he's just
great player. You know.
Yeah. Well, what it brought to mind there was the last game before lockdown was Brighton, but I managed to erase that nil all draw from my memory. It wasn't that hard to do. But the game before that was away to Spurs when he scored the winner, and we were down in that corner.
Yes.
And Yotta went on the run and just picked the pie, cut inside and buried it into the corner. Like, you know, and him, like as you say, I mean, normally, well, probably when we think back to the 70s, maybe it's kind of a similarity with Richards and Jiménez that, you know, a player, Dugan was a great header of a ball. He was good, decent on the ground as well. But your memories of forwards in particular, they're either a great header of a ball or they're a great poacher. You know, six-yard box. Or a hatcher, as we used to call them years ago. Have you any little stories, other stories, Eric, that you'd like to relay before somebody else, like Mick, probably gets a chance to say it at some stage?
Well, Mick actually got in a little bit before me there. He said that I missed my flight and I ended up in Leamington Spa.
Oh,
it wasn't actually, he was nearly right, he was half right. He got the spa bit right. It was actually Cheltenham Spa was the
all right.
I ended up in.
I was thinking of another meaning of that word that we have here in Dublin.
But it does have a bit of a Dublin one. But anyway, it was one of those, we were playing away to Derby and I was meeting up with the Dudley Mafia in Birmingham. And I don't know, like, Tony, you're probably more used to it now, but getting up in the morning for early flights, it's just a killer, you know?
yeah.
And, you know, so I suppose, and I don't go to bed early, so I suppose I'd probably be about 2 or 3 hours. You know, the way, if you've had an ordinary day where sometimes you don't sleep, well, the last thing you sort of say, geez, I think I'll go up and go on the piss, you know, that way, because it's just, you wouldn't do it. But if you're going to football, that's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
But anyway, met the lads in Brome. We got the train out to Derby. And of course, the lads, you know, the lads are famous for not eating or anything like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, luckily, I had breakfast. But anyway, so, geez, we were drinking away, blah, blah, drinking and all these funny, you know, the lads love all this real ales and stuff like that. And I was God almighty. But anyway, so I had to drink whatever was there. So anyway, so I was getting, I think it was like 5:45 train from Derby back into Brum. then get out to the airport for, I think it was like an 8 o'clock flight. Yeah. So that was grand. Got on the train. That was grand. Train wasn't too packed. So I got a, took a seat down. That was grand. Next minute, there's about 100 blokes after getting on from the, you know, Wolves fans from the match.
Yeah.
So that was grand. So I'm sitting there. Next minute, I'm saying to myself, oh, geez, I'm starting to nod off here, you know. And I just feel the head bobbing, you know, that when, and of course, instead of saying to not, because I was on the outside seat, there was a bloke inside me, instead of saying to him, listen, you know, if we get to Birmingham, give me a shout.
Yeah.
I didn't, of course, I just, boom, fell asleep. Next thing I'm sort of there, and I'm like in a dream, and I just hear, this is the something train from Birmingham New Street to Bournemouth. And I'm going, Jesus, you know. And then I sort of wake up, and there's no one on the train. There's about three or four people. The bloke inside me is gone. So he's absolutely getting out of me. All the Wolves fans have got off of Birmingham. I said, Jesus, where am I? So one of the rail guys come. I said, sorry, yeah, I'm trying to get to the airport. He said, no, mate. He said, you're on the train to Bournemouth. I said, oh, shite. I said, what? I said, what's the next stop? And he said, Cheltenham Spa. I said, can I get back up to the airport? He said, no, you have to go back into Birmingham. So anyway, I said, fuck it, anyway. So I was still like half an hour away from Cheltenham at this
time.
But anyway, got off in Cheltenham Spa. So then, now at that stage, I sort of knew, well, look, I'm gonna miss the flight, but I'll get the train, I'll get the overnight boat back to Ireland, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, got to Cheltenham Spa. It's one of these days, like Limerick Junction, in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing there. So I went up, or the guy said, look, go to the ticket office. He'll tell you what trains go back up to Holyhead and stuff like that. So I said, grand. Went into the ticket office, said, how are you? I explained the situation. Look, missed or fell asleep, blah blah. He said, oh, I said, can I get up to Holyhead? He said, oh, yeah. He said, there's actually a train on platform 3. He said, here, there's your ticket. He said, run over. And he said, that'll bring you up to Holyhead. So we blah, blah, crossed it. And next time, coming down the steps, choo, 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 off the train goes, you know. Oh, Jesus. So I said, oh, sure, I'll go back to the ticket office and I'll just see, you know, what's the next or what's available, you know. Came back to the ticket office, went in, and where your man was, there was a sign up. This office is closed till 10 a.m. Sunday morning, and I'm sort of going, what? I said, Jesus, I'm waiting for a Jeremy Beadle to come out and sort of say, ah. But anyway, luckily I was able to get in touch with Steve, and because they were still on the lash in Derby.
Yeah.
So Steve said, meet us on the ramp, and it was the old New Street, you know. And you know, New Street's a nightmare trying to meet so many. But I knew where the ramp was. So anyway, I'm waiting on the ramp. I'm back up with those 40 minutes later, and next where I heard the four or five boys, you know, chat, you know, they're breaking their arse laughing, of course, at me, you know. But so that was oh, Jesus, yeah, Cheltenham Spa. I never forget it.
That's a good nickname.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, oh my God, yeah. So that was the now there was another time now after what the Black Country Derby, I was up and got back to the airport, no problem, sitting there, and of course, fast asleep. Next minute, it's Mick. Eric, are you with this flight? Oh, jeez. Thanks, Mick.
Yeah, he loves telling that one, yeah. We'll give him that one. You know? But anyway, Eric, it's been a great old chat. We've our time done, as you say. So you'll be hoping to get over. Hopefully early in the new season, we'll be back to relative normality. And
oh, please God, Tony, look, you know, I need the vaccination, you know, that way, you know, like most of us, really. Oh, please God, Tony, please God, we'll get.
Yeah.
You know, there'll probably be smaller crowds, possibly at the start of the season, but you just don't know, you know.
Yeah, it's a hard one to call. But I mean,
hard to tell, isn't it? But look,
you know, as you say, you know, it's probably not feasible for everything just to hit the ground and, you know, 30,000 there again.
I'd say it'll be gradual, you know what I mean? Yeah. But look, you know, it'll be just great to see football fans back in the stadium.
Yeah.
It makes such a difference, won't it, you know?
Yeah. Looking forward to an old good old session and a good, you know,
and again,
as you were saying, you know, you're a bit like myself, those half six flights are a blooming nightmare. But give me right arm. I mean, probably me left one as well now to be on one heading over to.
Absolutely, London. Of course. Oh yeah, I'd love to be on one now. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So listen,
Tony, Eric, looking forward to seeing you again. Okay.
We'll keep in touch. We'll see you then.
Do.
Take care.
Bye. Take care, Tony. See
you. Bye. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on irishwolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.